listening to the HIV Hour, which is broadcast every first and third Thursdays at 7 p.m. and repeated throughout the month. Check the Radio Reverb schedule on the website radioreverb.com. We broadcast on 97.2 FM in the Brighton area and on DAB Plus Radio. Our social pages are Twitter and Instagram at HIV_Hour, and you can join our Facebook page at HIV Hour Reverb. Contact us on HIVHour@gmail.com. And you can also listen and subscribe to our famous podcast. Just type in HIV Hour at your favourite podcast platform and you'll soon see us. To listen to the full HIV Hour show, go to the Radio Reverb website Listen Again page. The HIV Hour, positively helping to change hearts and minds.
Well done, David.
Oh, good evening. What a fab tune that was. I was waving my arms, as you well know. Yes.
Yes, you were waving everything, wasn't you?
A nice little disco anthem. Was it disco?
It's Romy and Enjoy Your Life.
Yeah, so, yeah. That was good. Yes, thank
How
you.
How are you, anyway? Good evening, good afternoon, and welcome to everybody.
Yes, welcome, listeners. Yeah, no, I'm good. We're July already, and it's still got quite a lot of summer to go.
Feels like we've had loads. I don't know. It feels like we should be in Nogg.
Yes, we've had a long spell of hot, dry weather, but it's lovely to still be in the middle of summer.
It's Pride season, really, as well, isn't it?
June was Pride Month for everybody, but Brighton being different as we are and special as we are. Our Pride is the first Saturday of every August.
So that's coming up. But it's what have you been up to this last couple of weeks, actually?
Just pottering around the garden, really, and planning for sort of future events and things. So, as you know, you and I are both in the More to Me Than HIV Hour, More to Me Than HIV Portrait exhibition.
Yes.
And we're going to be re-showing that later on this month in Brighton.
Oh, fabulous. Where's that going to be?
So that's going to be at the library. Perhaps we can talk about that
community news. Yes, absolutely.
My youngest kitten's had her first injection, little Raven. She's itching to get out and she's definitely trying to outsmart us in sneaking out of windows and things like that.
She's a bit of a one, isn't she? I met her. I looked after her one night.
She's adorable.
Well, we haven't got the other crew with us. They've left us again.
Yeah, no, we do miss them, don't we?
We do. I've got the names. Who?
It's that Sue thingy and Steve.
I'm sure we'll see them one day.
Yeah, yeah. Well, actually, there's an opportunity for the public and listeners to listen to actually meet us all in person, and again, we'll talk about that later.
Yes.
Got lots to talk about later, haven't we? How are you, Josh? What's that?
I'll talk about that later.
All right, then. Good one.
No, I'm all right, yeah. Yeah, I'm good. Not too bad. I've got a lot going on. There's the Bear Weekend this weekend, which is another amazing event. So I've got a few.
It is. That's another Pride, really, isn't it?
And we're talking about that later.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
Just pottering along and, going. But on the show, we're going to obviously... Stephen did a great interview with a lovely lady called Angelina, who has written a book, or a few of her friends have written a book, and it's called Our Stories Told by Us.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So he's done a great interview with her, so we'll be playing that shortly. And then we'll have... Sue's done a story with about Magic Johnson.
So
he's a basketball player.
Yeah, very famous.
Is he still alive?
He is.
Yeah. So he's... she'll be doing a story about that, but we must say that the recording's a little bit iffy, but you can hear what she's saying. But just to warn our listeners that just to keep going with it.
Good.
And then we've just got community news, because there's a lot of community news on this week.
There's lots happening. It's a fun, packed summer.
Yes. So shall we have a song and get on with
this
show?
On.
Yeah. Do you like Will Young?
I do like Will Young, actually. Yeah, I do. Yeah. He did a great remix of a favourite tune of mine. But
what was that called?
I can't remember the name of the song.
All right. This is Your Game and Will Young.
Oh, great. That's a good one.
And then we'll come back with Stephen's interview with Angelina. So
yeah.
See you on the other side.
All right, then.
HIV Hour is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the HIV Hour. Well, today I am joined by a friend of mine, Angelina Namiba, and she is here today to talk about the book Our Stories Told by Us, which is written by her and a group of other wonderful ladies. And Angelina, welcome to the HIV Hour.
Thank you very much, Stephen. Hello, everybody.
Thank you, Ange. So basically, this book has, the launch was last week. And can you tell the listeners just what the book is about and who has been part of putting the book together and all those kind of things?
Mm-hmm. So the book is called Our Stories Told by Us. It is celebrating the African contribution to the UK HIV response. It was initially, the idea was, I'll call it conceived by a group of us, five African women living with HIV, myself, Charity Nyirenda, Memory Sachikonye, Rebecca Mbewe and Winnie Seruma. We felt that it was important that our stories were told in our voices and to kind of share these different stories that you don't hear about women living or people living with African people living with HIV, because oftentimes what you hear is about the passive, voiceless victims. You mm-hmm. never hear about the resilience, the celebration,
the strength
yeah. that African people have contributed to the HIV response in the past 40 years. So we did it to coincide with the 40th anniversary of HIV. But we went together. It was a steering group of the five of us, mm-hmm. Plus Mark Santos, who is the CEO of Positive East, which is another wonderful HIV charity based in East London, and the lovely Michelle Croston, who is a professor of nursing at Nottingham University, but she was a former chair mm-hmm. of NIVNA, which is the National HIV Nurses Association. So together we put together the book and we moved forward, and we invited other people living with HIV, African people living with HIV, but also our allies, because we didn't do this on our own. So it's a really special book for us.
So can you tell us how did the book come to life? You know, like, what was it? Where did the idea of the book come from? You know, I'm interested to find out. Were you sitting around having coffee, drinking Prosecco or something? How did it come to life?
Oh, my. I said the seed of the book was sown. I think, if I remember correctly, our friend Winnie.
Yeah.
Winnie Zanyusaruma. I think she did an interview around World AIDS Day for, I can't remember what it was. And then the interviewer asked her, well, what about the African communities? What is happening there? And then she said to herself, actually, there isn't anything much said or written out there, particularly around this. Of course, there's lots of stuff going on, but not around this. So she came to us. I mean, we already group up. The five of us have another name collectively known as ZUK, Africa United. So
right.
That sounds full. Zambia, Zimbabwe, Uganda,
right.
Kenya. We live in the UK.
Okay.
And we've been friends for a very long time, and we've been meeting over the years. And during the lockdown, would meet every week on Zoom and have a chat, just catch up, see how it's going. Kind of, I encourage them to set up a book club. So we would choose a book every month. One of us would choose a book, and every month we'd review it amongst us. So we've been friends for a long time doing different artistic things. Mm-hmm. And so Winnie brought the idea to us and said, well, you know, we actually did a photo book during the lockdown as well. And then Winnie said, why don't we do this? I thought, why not?
Mm-hmm.
So we went away for a retreat. We often go on a retreat. We retreat once a year because the nature of the group, the way it is we are friends, we nurture each other, we support each other, but we also take time out. We're all busy. So we went away on a retreat. We had a planning meeting. We said, okay, this is what we're going to do. What do we need to do? And the seed of the book was sown then.
And
the rest, as I say, is history.
Because I think you're right. I think that is... There's a vision, there's an idea of what HIV is in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And a bit like the Tombstone advert, it hasn't changed. You know, for a lot of people, what HIV is in Africa hasn't changed. So, you know, the fact of, you know, you writing these stories and you all being up there and speaking... It was a very powerful, you know, the launch was very powerful, you know, just to hear, because I felt your power, you know, I felt your strength. So it's I think it's going to be a great advantage to people. Where can they get the book if they're interested?
Well, we needed to do, a fast print run to make sure that we had enough copies for the launch. We are going to, the book should be available in the next, I think, 4 to 6 weeks. So we're looking at maybe end of July, early August. But we have a website, ourstoriestoldbyus.com. And there will be, and also we have a Twitter account, which is our_stories_us. If you keep and follow us and keep an eye on that, we'll be making announcements the minute the book is available to purchase. We'll make announcements and you'll be able to get it online then in different formats as well. So so because we had to do a limited print run to make sure that everybody, including people who attended the launch as well as the contributors, all got a copy.
So I know this is a huge question, but I know how motivated you all are, you group. What's next?
Gosh. So many things. But, you know, part of the reason why we wrote the book was not just to celebrate, partly to celebrate the age 40th anniversary, partly to celebrate the African contribution to the UK HIV response, but also we hoped that the book would spark conversations within African families, African communities, but also for, you know, many people living with HIV out there, African people living with HIV out there who may not be where we are at the moment. It's just, we just also wanted to make sure they know that we hear them, their stories matter. And at some point, hopefully, it might be the catalyst that enables them to do what they need to do, go further. But also, I think it's important to know that you don't actually have to be open and public about your status to make a change in somebody's life. So, because within the book, the stories within the book are of different African people living with HIV as well as our allies, but some of the stories are for people who initially had a lot of issues. Maybe some may not have been able to take their medication. They got the support they needed and then they did. I think for many people out there who read the book, there will be a story there that they may identify with, that may resonate with them, may help them to make a change. I don't know, but we hope that people will identify and enjoy the stories, and it will be a catalyst for change and conversations, and who knows. In terms of what's next, we're hoping to do a roadshow across different regions of the UK, because although the launch was in London, we didn't want it to be too London-centric, because it is the contribution of the African contribution to the UK HIV response. So we're hoping to do a few more roadshows across different regions of the UK. So, you know, there will be a launch coming into a city near you, hopefully.
And I have seen it online, and I have seen people on the website, you know, asking, you know, is it coming to Glasgow? Is it coming to... So I definitely think you've got your work cut out for you to...
I think we have. But we will announce where we are going. However, if you're listening out there and you're in the community and you'd like us to come to your city and it's not on the list, because, of course, we can't go everywhere.
Exactly.
Just get in touch with us if you have any ideas. If you'd like us to come and do a talk at one of your events, we're more than happy to come. One of us will come up. I mean, I'm you know, I have travel card. Well, there are trains and buses and things, you know. Yeah, just get in touch, reach out, let us know, and we'll see what we can do.
Okay, so just to lastly say, Our Story is Told by Us, and that book is going to be available if you go to the website, and just check it out, because it's I've only had a flick through it so far, but I know all the women, and I know how wonderful they are. So it's going to be another one, and it's going to be another star on the, you know, on the bookcase. So well done.
I hope so. Thank you very much. And it's Our Stories Told by Us, but it's also stories of our allies and other people living with HIV. So yeah, we hope you enjoy reading it as much as we enjoyed creating it.
Thank you, Ange.
You're welcome. Thank you, Stephen.
Radio Reverb. Fine. Radio Reverb.
Well, welcome back to the HIV Hour on 97.2 FM and DAB Plus, and obviously RadioReverb.com and on our famous podcasts.
Before that, Will Young. And for listeners that I forgot the name of the song, it was... I've forgotten it again. Love Revolution. That was a song I liked.
Well, yes. I'll just give you a quick slap
in the head. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that interview with Mangelina is amazing. I mean, a amazing book and amazing idea that they've done, the launch.
Mm, yeah. So. Yeah. I've met Angelina. She's a lovely lady.
Is she part of your...
She took part in More to Me Than HIV in the portraits. Yeah. And I think in her portrait, she's on display with some of the T-shirts she's designed proclaiming U equals U. So, you know, if you want to spread the word about U equals U, get in touch with Angelina and...
Well, I mean, it's good just to get that out there. Isn't it?
It's a game changer.
So... we're going to listen to Sue's story now about Magic Johnson. Just to tell our listeners that the quality is a little bit up and down, but it's listenable and it's fine. So just do stick with it, and then we'll come back with us too again.
Yes, let's do that. Thank you, Sue.
If you've just tuned in, this is the HIVR on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM in the Brighton area and .com online, and also getting our amazing podcast, which you can access. Now, many people may have remembered or remember Magic Johnson. He was the NBA legend in baseball. Magic Johnson's life came crashing down when he tested positive for HIV in 1991. And the NBA legend immediately had to tell his wife and former lovers that he may have, that they may have contracted it too. Now, Johnson once locked himself, I can believe this, once locked himself in a room to inform his ex-lovers he had HIV. Now, Johnson was the face of American basketball through the 1980s and as a member of the Los Angeles Lakers, in the Showtime era, and that all came crashing down when he discovered he had contracted HIV in 1991. Now, the point God was only married to his pregnant wife, Cookie, now I didn't know this, for 6 weeks when he informed her of the devastating news. His self-confessed playboy lifestyle and habit of having unprotected sex, came back to haunt him. And while he did not remember how many women he had slept with, he tracked down as many of them as he could to give them potentially life-changing news. Can you imagine that? Now, Cookie, his wife, wrote in her 2016 memoirs, Believing in Magic, it was called. What amazing title, that Johnson locked himself in a room and called the long list of women whom he had been intimate. The harrowing experience involved the United States national team star having to explain to each of them he had tested positive for HIV and was considered a death sentence by many at the time. And if you think of it, 1991, we didn't have the information we have now. We certainly didn't have the medication. Cookie, his wife, herself was given the all clear. And the woman had to wait 12 days in fear before finding out that their negative test results. Johnson initially delivered the news to his wife by calling her while appearing in a pre-seasonal game in Salt Lake City. He told Cookie, "I'm coming home early because I have something I have to talk to you about. And on my way to the doctor's office right now," he told her. "What's going on?" she said. "I can't tell you on the phone," he said. And she recalled her husband, a 45-day word, sending a chilling creeping over her heart as she asked, "What's wrong? Do you have AIDS or something?" Now, the 6 foot nine, wow, that's tall. The 6 foot 9 inches, the NBA marvel did not answer. He came walking through the door an hour later before beginning one of the hardest conversations either of them had experienced. Johnson told Cookie
she could leave him. To which she responded by placing the five-time NBA champion's hand over her pregnant belly and telling him they would beat this condition together. Prior to receiving her negative result, Cookie recalled, every morning I would wake up in a panic, worried that I too might be HIV positive or die, or worse, that my baby could be sick and not make it. And if you think about it, how things have changed from the 90s to the information we have now, with, you know, it's more or less guaranteed that if a woman is pregnant and on a medication for HIV, she won't pass that virus on. But we didn't know that information back then. The stress caused through my veins, like poison, occupying practically every moment of my day, she goes on to say. Johnson announced his retirement from basketball on November 1991, age only 32. The news gave way to speculation he was gay or bisexual due to the misconceptions about the virus at the time. The NBA's commissioner, David Stern, refused to turn his back on Magic and allowed him to play in the 1992 All-Star Game, where he won MVP and nailed a last-gasp three-pointer, which saw both teams run into the court in celebration. Now, despite some of his fellow professionals asking him to be banned over safety concerns, Johnson was also permitted to join the US Olympic basketball team alongside the likes of Michael Jordan and Larry Bird. As one of the small percentages of heterosexual American men to have contracted the virus at the time, he went on to become the public face of HIV and raise awareness.
Radio Reverb.
Play something.
So that's an interesting story with Sue, isn't it?
Fascinating man. How honest he was as well in sharing his status.
Yeah. So I've got a story. So PrEP, what do you think about this, David? The PrEP obviously is changing, and they want to do like an implant. They're creating an implant, so there's a new version of the PrEP. So,
well, a bit like an injectable, but not...
So it's like a little implant that'll be implanted into your skin.
So this is sort of medicine, is it?
Yes. Yeah. And it'll release PrEP.
Right.
Throughout the, obviously, it is a bit like injectables, but you don't need to inject it, you just get it into your skin. And it's a long way away. It's just been looked into. But it's a lot. I was reading the story and I was a bit conflicted because they're doing the research on animals, so I don't know how you feel about it. It's a difficult one, isn't it?
What do I think? Well, I have thought about it in the past, but I probably owe my life to animals that have been experimented on.
Yeah.
And that's a difficult situation to sort of come to terms with, really.
I mean, all these innovations are amazing. You know, I'm on the injectables, which is amazing breakthrough. But they were obviously tested on animals, weren't they?
Maybe not all medicines. Yeah. I mean, some of the medicines that we use for HIV, as you know, have been repurposed from other fields of medicine, anti-cancer drugs and things like that. I know they try and grow animal cells in the lab, so they're sort of cuttings from animals, if you like, not the animals themselves, to see how those cells react to certain medications.
Right.
So that's what scientists are trying to do now, right? And they're trying to keep the amount of vivisection down to a minimum. But it's a difficult thing. I mean, do I value my life over an animal? Well, I've got to say yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So shall I read you a little bit about the report?
Yeah, please read.
I was supposed to be a bit funny about saying animal research. Animal research is pointing toward a new way to prevent HIV infection, a refillable implant that continuously delivers antiviral medications for up to 20 months at a time.
Right, so it's refillable?
It says refillable, yeah.
So it's almost like a pocket that you fill with drugs and then that slowly releases. That's amazing.
So antivirals are the cornerstone of PrEP, an infection prevention protocol that has been around since 2012. But the new approach, though so far only tested on monkeys, promises an even more hassle-free way to deliver the drugs. The goal is to make PrEP easier to use for patients who have trouble adhering to a pill or injection timetable, which is exactly what the injectables I'm on, HIV injectables are doing. Yeah. When taken as prescribed, PrEP can reduce the risks of HIV infection. And this is from the study author, Alexandro Grattanio. But the problem with existing methods, he explained, is that many patients miss or simply forget to take their medications scheduled. Do you ever miss
medication? I've not missed a dose in over 10 years.
Right.
Yeah. Just got into that routine. It's just so routine.
Some people, it's very difficult, isn't it?
Yeah.
Forgetting to take oral pills or injections reduces the efficacy of PrEP and thus increases the chances of contracting HIV.
Mm.
Additionally, there is no way to undo a PrEP injection if a patient experiences a bad reaction.
Mm.
I suppose if it was a bad reaction, you could take it out, the implant.
I suppose you empty the implant if it's kind of a reservoir, as it seems to describe. Yeah, you could, syringe it out again. So I've got a picture in my head. It's like a hot water bottle, or an empty hot water bottle, a microscopic one that you fill with drugs that slowly release, but you could fill it with other things. So it might have great benefits for other kinds of medicine as well. You need certain levels of a drug in your system.
Yeah.
Mm. And it's fascinating to think about. Yeah. So it's literally it's an implant, almost like a bionic.
Where are we going with this?
A
bionic man.
Yeah.
The implant, he explained, addresses such concerns as far testing in monkeys suggests the approach is safe and fully protective. However, the animal research does always bear out it's different to humans. So that's the
right
consideration. There are only two methods of administration PrEP at the moment, and that's pill or injection.
Mm.
And that was first approved in 2012.
Mm.
Oral PrEP is a single tablet composed of a combination of two antiviral medications. And when taken daily, oral PrEP reduces the risk of getting HIV from sex or injection drug use by 99% and 74%, respectively. So that's shows you how effective it is.
Yeah.
Once daily use is the only oral method currently approved by the US. The injectable method called, Apretude, was first approved in 2021, intended for patients who either had a bad reaction to oral PrEP or having trouble sticking to a once-a-day pill regime. The injection contains the antiviral cabotegravir, which is one of the drugs on the injection.
Oh, okay. Rapivirine.
Injectable PrEP is first administered by two shots taken a month apart and then once every 2 months from the point forward.
Mm.
The implants are designed to be safe against both leaks and ruptures, so you have to think about that, and have space for roughly 0.57 millimetres of an experimental antiviral medication called, Islatravir, which is ISL.
Right. That is a small amount, so there must be quite tiny little bionic implants,
Like the ball.
So I imagine I'm still picturing a tiny little hot water bottle, but, full of medicine instead of hot water.
It's like nanites, isn't it?
Nanites.
Star Trek, nanites.
Not at the end of the show. Nanobots. Nanobots. Yes, yeah. As you can tell, listeners, we're both Trekkies.
Yes. As intended, the ISL drug, which I've just mentioned, which I'm not going to say again, through the implant and into each animal's bloodstream. And the team concluded that throughout the study, circulating blood circulation concentrations matched the desired protected levels that would have been received in a daily pill.
Mm-hmm.
So the next steps, I'll go to the end of this. Next steps are to determine what is the lowest dose needed for continued protection and whether the implant is effective against different routes of HIV infection, both sexual and injection drugs use.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, we wouldn't be where we are today without testing.
Because it's an implant, in this particular case, I imagine it's just something that's put into the muscle of a mammal, whether it be a human or a monkey or something like that. So I think the reactions and the suffering that any animals had would be less. But it's when you're only actually testing experimental drugs and you don't know what the side effects are going to be. That's a different matter at all. It's trying to reduce the suffering to a minimum. I'd be more happy with that. But better still, no vivisection at all.
So I don't know what our listeners think.
Let us know your views at HIV Hour.
gmail.com.
At gmail.com, yes. We'd love to hear from you.
Yes. So you've got a story, haven't you, David? Or it's
So I thought, well, what should we talk about this week? So I thought, well, let's have a look at some showbiz, really. What is showbiz? So famous people, I suppose, artists and artists doing their wonderful thing. So I'm going to talk about an actor, a singer and a comedian. Sounds like a joke already, doesn't it? Walked into a bar and said, ta-da, I'm HIV positive. Well, almost that, really. So the actor I'm going to talk about is... So there's been a documentary has just been completed by HBO, who are those wonderful people that do those sort of fantastic shows like Game of Thrones and things. I don't know when it's available in the UK, but I'm sure it will come out at some point. But this is a documentary about the amazing life of Rock Hudson. Now, for those of you, I mean, I'm barely old enough to remember Rock Hudson, but I have seen many black and white films in my childhood, and Rock Hudson was the sort of heartthrob man. He was a real man's man of the 1950s and 1960s, and he had a famous agent that brought many famous actors and actresses to the public gaze. But Rock Hudson, was the man's man, and he was, leading man behind many films. But he was secretly gay. He had to be in the closet because
a lot of them didn't
at that time, Hollywood at the time was experiencing a great time of sexual oppression. Used to get roaming vice squads searching for gay and communist activity back in the McCarthy era. And it was just impossible for gay actors to be gay in that era. But he was one of the first famous people. I mean, in my sort of teenage years, I was aware of HIV and AIDS, but I just thought it affected anonymous people that I couldn't put a name to. But Rock Hudson was the first famous person that I could sort of picture and identify who was named as having AIDS. So this is back in 1985. So he was a big friend of Elizabeth Taylor, and that's why Elizabeth Taylor got into AIDS activism.
I remember him on Dynasty, actually, and that was a big thing because he kissed Linda Evans.
Right.
On Dynasty.
Oh, really?
It was a massive big...
So he would have had HIV at the time,
probably. Yeah, so I think it was AIDS.
Oh, really?
I think so. I remember, and it was a big thing in the press about it. My God, he's kissed...
Yeah, so it's this filmmaker Stephen Kijak. He uncovers the man behind the myth in HBO's dishy documentary, Rock Hudson, All That Heaven Allowed. So viewers, listeners, look out for that on your TV screens coming soon. So that's the actor done with. So let's talk about a singer. So there's a young Swedish pop star called Magnus Rise, and he's created a song called Until Tomorrow. He lives in New York now. But he so the song is called Until Tomorrow, and he's produced a video for it. And in the video, he has a co-star, Hernando Humana, who's a star on Broadway in Kinky Boots, and is opening Living with HIV. Hernando went public with his HIV status in 2018, and he said he's never looked back and he's healthier than ever. So that's always, it's always good to find out your status, isn't it? And to get onto treatment and, take responsibility for your health.
Yeah.
But in the video, both Magnus and Hernando have a real sort of snog and a kiss. They really wanted to, in the video, address the real queer intimacy and address the stigma around HIV and the U equals U message. So, it's perfectly safe to kiss somebody with HIV and even snog them and do more, which we can't talk about at this hour on the radio.
Yes.
with U equals U on successful treatment, it's, there's nothing to be scared of if you want to kiss somebody with HIV.
Well, that's interesting. Sorry, just saying about Rock Hudson and how when he was on Dynasty and Linda Evans, and that was a big, massive thing. So it's still there, isn't it? We're still talking about it.
Yeah. But how things have changed and how it's a completely different narrative to what it was then. Back then, it was scary. There was no treatment, and obviously now we have treatment and it's not scary. So let's get rid of the stigma.
Absolutely.
And then the last one is a comedian called James Tyson, and James mentions that he's living with, they are living with HIV, I should say, and they say that humour is one of the best ways to combat HIV stigma. And James, I think he I'm quoting him here in an interview in, I think, Plus magazine. So I'll read this out. James was most surprised by the stigma that is still associated with being HIV positive, especially when he brings it up in his comedy. But that hasn't stopped him from sharing. He says, "It's shocking to me that in 2023, in New York, every single time I bring up HIV as a stand-up comedian, it silences the entire audience."
Oh.
James admits. So when James shares his status with an audience, he breaks down the barriers of HIV stigma through humour, which helps make life a little less terrifying. He goes on to say, "I think humour at its best empowers all of us to deal with the hard and terrible parts of our existence, and the humour strips it of the power that it holds over you." He says, "Embracing his status through humour has helped James combat the stigma that even he holds within himself." So we know that as internalised stigma, don't we?
Yeah.
And it's that mindset, and it's a switch in his mindset that lets him know that he's going to be okay. He says that HIV is just seen as a boogeyman. It's a big, scary thing you're not supposed to get. It's been decades of that stigma in his head, and no one who is testing positive for HIV is like, yay for me. But again, it's not a tragedy either, James jokes. They joke. So, you know, I mean, I've looked around for jokes about HIV in the past, but not found many, because it's a difficult subject to joke about, but it's a great way of breaking down barriers.
Yes, I think we need to have a bit of humour, don't we?
Yeah, you can joke about anything as long as, you know, you're attacking people.
Absolutely. Shall we have a song and then we'll come back with
community
news?
Yeah.
Do you like the Smiths?
I do like the Smiths, yes.
Well, I don't know, I've played the Smiths on here for, well, I don't think I ever have. So this is "I Started Something I Couldn't Finish." So welcome back to the HIV Hour on 97.2 FM and DAB Plus and RadioReverb.com. So to help keep Radio Reverb independent and ad-free, you can make a donation to support our work, which is invaluable. Every penny goes back into the running of the station, and every pound makes a difference. So if you can help, go to paypal.me/RadioReverb. paypal.me/RadioReverb. Thank you very much. That was the Smiths, and "I Started Something I Couldn't Finish." Have you ever done that, David?
I have many times, yes. Wasn't that a famous
anyway,
mastermind?
Anyway, that's enough of that.
Oh, right. I started, but he didn't let me finish.
I didn't let him finish.
Yeah, he didn't let me finish. But we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, so we've got lots of things to talk about.
Later is now. Okay, that's good.
So I'm going to talk about his community news now, really, because there's a lot on this weekend and this coming up week. But fundraising season for the Brighton Rainbow Fund will kick off this weekend with the Brighton Bear Weekend. So, David, will you be around? We had Graham on a couple of weeks ago.
I went to Brighton Bear Weekend last year, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. And it was lovely to meet Graham on the last episode. I do have my parents staying this weekend, and I don't know if they're into bears, really. Have to be into bears, but I think we do have other things planned.
I'll bring them down.
For anybody that hasn't been, it's a really friendly, relaxed and fun day out.
And then it ends a month later with the big Brighton Pride, which is August the 6th.
Mm.
So a call out to all fundraisers and donors. The Brighton Rainbow Fund is the charity founded, it's about 13 years ago, by James Ledwood, who sadly missed, and Paul Elgood, as a central hub for community fundraising, distribution funds raised in the community to Brighton and Hove LGBTQ and HIV organisations, which we are one of their recipients, is that the word?
Yes.
And projects as grants. Grants are awarded in a fair and transparent way with an application process. Mm-hmm. It goes to all projects and organisations. It doesn't matter how big or small, you can apply for these grants. Mm. Around the time of Brighton Pride, many businesses and individuals consider organising fundraising events or donating LGBTQ plus charities. I must say, this is from Scene magazine, actually. This is something been written from Scene. Mm. Donating via the Brighton Rainbow Fund ensures that funds and donations goes where it's most needed.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, a donation to the Rainbow Fund does benefit this very radio show, doesn't it?
Yes.
And funding the equipment and the hire of the premises and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so important. Mm, considering raising or donating funds to the Brighton Rainbow Fund, you can get in touch by going to info@rainbow-fund.org. info@rainbow-fund.org. And from there, you can get collection tins, buckets, QR codes to collect donations by text, logos. So there's lots of things you can get hold of there.
Yeah, yeah. Do a coffee morning or a tray bake sale.
Yes. Mm. Whatever you like.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to go through some of the events the next month. So obviously we just mentioned the Brighton Bear Weekend, which is the 6th of July to the 9th of July. The annual Brighton Bear Weekend, which I'm part of, runs from Thursday till Sunday the 9th of July, and they raise funds for the Brighton Rain Fund and this year Sussex Beacon. If you want to go on their website too, if you want to go down along, come along, go to www.
We'll talk about that later.
Yes. Well, I'll start until I'll finish.
Okay.
So it's brightonbearweekend.com. I think we need Sue back.
We do. We'd like to apologise for Sue.
Where is Sue?
Yeah, no, we'd like to apologise for Sue.
Yes. End of.
And we miss you.
Yes. So on Sunday the 23rd of July, there's a gala concert for David...
Raven.
David Raven, yes. And Maisie Trollett.
Yes, yeah.
And that's a gala concert and after show birthday party. Mm. So Sunday the 23rd of... July. God.
That's at Brighton Dome.
Yes.
Yeah, which is a big venue. I mean, David Ravens is now officially, I think, the world's oldest performing drag queen.
Wow.
As Maisie Trollett. Obviously, David is David out of drag, but as Maisie Trollett in drag. Yeah. Yeah. At the age of 90.
Yeah.
I'd still like to be performing at the age of 90.
That's another story.
I've got 37 years to go.
That's another story.
Yes, we'll talk about that later.
Sorry, listeners. The Brighton Rainbow Fund is organising the gala concert, raising funds to distributors' grants. So tickets are £15 to £60.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, check that out. Mm. Details and bookings is brightondome.org/events. Oh, it's a big one, that. We're going to read out. I'll try it anyway. Go to Brighton Dome.
Website. Look at the listings for the 23rd of July.
The next one is the Brighton and Hove Rainbow Run. 5 kilometre run raising funds. That's Friday, August the 4th in Hove Park. Are you up for that?
Well, I can't run 5 kilometres.
All right, well, it's up to you, love.
I can't.
And then obviously, the 5th to the 6th of August is Brighton Pride, which is the big finale. And there's a Brighton Village Party, which is in and around St James Street. And that's got lots of different things on, DJs and cabaret and all sorts.
You'll be performing.
I will be performing, but I'll be talking about later.
Okay.
in the month.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, David, you've got something to discuss.
So I'd like to talk about the 21st of July, which globally is Zero HIV Stigma Day. So this is a day that was suggested by UNAIDS and other fantastic charities like the NAS charity in London. So the reason why 21st of July is being set as Anti-Stigma Day is because it was the birthday, 21st of July was the birthday of Prudence Mabele, who was one of the first South African women to be public about her status, and that really did encourage other women and men to come forward about HIV and help break down the stigma. So that's, we have obviously World AIDS Day in December, and I think certainly for us in the Northern Hemisphere, I think it's nice to have a day where we can talk about HIV and raise public awareness during the summer months. So in Brighton, the Brighton and Hove City Council are producing an event as part of their Fast Track Cities status. So we've hired the Jubilee Square, which is outside the main library in Jubilee Street.
Good place.
And there'll be events and activities all day long with speakers and the Rainbow Chorus on stage from 5:15 p.m. to 6:15 p.m. Lunch Positive will be providing meals at the Ledward Centre and refreshments in the square throughout the day. The More to Me Than HIV exhibition we will be re-exhibiting in the library where we last did it a couple of years ago now.
Yeah,
so it's nice to be back.
Yeah, really.
And actually we have quite a few people present in the square itself that are portrait participants, so including your good self and me and Sue and Stephen. Sue, yeah, we'd like to apologise for Sue. Angelina, she's in one of our portraits as well, so she'll be there. So come along and you come and meet to us. So there'll be, and also they've got the Rainbow Chorus at 5:15 p.m. Who will be sort of interjecting the speakers with song. So come along. The Martin Fisher Foundation bus will be there, and there'll be activities for children on the bus. So, you know, children can be asked to sort of look out for certain words within some of the health promotion materials that are on the bus. You can come and meet and talk to people living with HIV and find out what the reality is today. So that, you know, the whole day is geared, or is a day of action. We want to sort of really encourage people to... There'll be HIV testing happening at the Ledward Centre, which is provided by THT. For those that aren't, you know, don't have the time to spare for an HIV test on the day, they can always get an HIV test and an STI test and in the foyer from Brighton Library. So it's a whole day of activities, and this is more about a celebration of the fact that we can live well, and we can hopefully end HIV by 2030 if we can reduce stigma and get lots of people tested. So there's an awful lot for me to talk about there. I can keep going on, but I won't for the moment, because you know, there's still some more events and activities to be scheduled, because it's still in the planning stages. But it's definitely happening. It's from 12 till 6:15. At Jubilee Square in Brighton,
and we'll have a show on that week actually, so we can just update everyone on that.
Yes, yeah, and listeners, if you've ever wanted to meet the lovely Josh and the lovely Sue and the lovely Stephen and the lovely Tony and of course me, we will be there in the square. So yes. Don't be square, be in the square, and come and meet us, have a chat to us, and tell us what you want from the show, and how,
yeah,
how
much, good for that.
Yeah, we want only good reports. if you don't like us, don't come talk to us.
Anyway, you know what, David? We've come to the end. That was
have
quite
we already?
Quite wow. Mad. Just to say, actually, I'm going to Lawson Unit tomorrow. Have you been there yet?
So, funny enough, I just came from, I was in there earlier on today. It's a lovely building, and we have promised listeners that we will do a little sort of guided tour via the radio and tell people what we see and experience there.
Yeah, I'll feedback next time.
Yeah.
It's meant to be really nice.
Yeah, so we're doing it with Zoe Adler, one of the nurses there.
Yes, yeah. Oh, fabulous. So thank you for tuning in. Really, I know it's been a bit wacky today, but...
Yeah, but it's always is, it's just the two of us.
It's just the two of us. We're trying our best.
Sue is very good. I mean, I know we've teased Sue throughout the show, and we'd like to apologise for Sue. But yeah, she really does keep us boys in check, doesn't
yes.
she?
Yes. So we'll talk to her later.
Yes.
All right. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll
yes,
see you.
Thank you, everyone.
Yes, lots of love.
Bye.
HIVR is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.